Yo.
Hello. What's up, man?
What's going on, brother?
Okay, cool. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in here.
All right.
And we're going to get this thing started, okay?
All right.
All right, well, we actually recording right now, so it don't matter.
Okay. Yeah, no problem.
All right. Hey, so, everyone, this is another episode of the Art of Therapy where we kind of dig into, you know, artists, different artists, and myself as well. Kind of dig into, you know, talking to people about issues with depression and anxiety and things of that nature. And it also being, you know, self-awareness month, mental health month. So I think those things are really cool to dig into with people. Today I got someone that is a good friend of mine, man. He is a really good songwriter, producer, writer in general. He's written films, rapper, does it all, man. One of my good friends, Richie, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing well. You know, just enjoying this beautiful day. Just took a real good nap, so feeling good.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, that's a good thing, man. You know, what's funny is I just took a nap myself, so. Well, I guess we're on the same page, man.
That's right.
Man, I want to just dig right in here and just kind of start asking you some questions about your artistic stuff. Tell me, you know, I would think in knowing you, I would think that writing has kind of been your main go-to.
Mm-hmm.
So when did that get started for you? Like, when did the writing get started for you?
The writing aspect for me, it started really early on, really, like, actually, you know, as a kid watching cartoons, you always used to play as whatever your favorite show was, you know, after your favorite show went off. And I think just having that imagination, I would sit down and sometimes write what I thought was material, but I wouldn't necessarily take it as serious as I do now. I think that shifted once I saw that you could actually make something a lot more tangible, and that made me more interested in you know, perfecting, or not necessarily perfecting, but, you know, stepping more closer to perfecting my craft within that, and getting better with writing. So I think I might have been about, you know, really honestly, when I started taking writing as you know, music and everything as a totality, I think that was about 18 or 19 years old when I really decided to take it serious and felt like, you know, what you write could be, you know, literally your legacy. So,
Well, you know, I find it interesting that you say around 18, 19 years old. I find that as like a common theme with a lot of people that have like these artistic abilities. It seems like it seems like everything gets taken seriously coming out of high school.
Right.
I don't know why that is, because even for myself, like, it started really to take shape that, man, I can make something out of myself with this around 18, you know? Tell me, why do you think that is? Is that, why does it usually take shape for artists around that age?
Well, I think that's because, you know, that's usually when our independence comes to its full maturity. We don't necessarily look at responsibilities at 17 to 18 years old, but we sure look at independence as something that's, you know, like God-given, especially here in America. Mm-hmm. So I think around that time, you have, you know, young artists, whether it be, you know, musicians or, you know, graphic artists or writers or playwrights, whatever it is, you know, they start taking a little bit more serious because they realize they are now in control of their time. They don't have to get up and be bound by, you know, a 7 to 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock schedule anymore. And I think I can speak for myself when I say I looked at it as more of an opportunity to sharpen that craft. You know, college was definitely something that I wanted to, excuse me, you know, look at, but I looked at it more like, you know, if I sharpen my craft and do it as comfortably as I want to do it, then I shouldn't, you know, have any problems. And you always going to run into problems. So I think the 17 to 18 years old, that right there is around the age that somebody would naturally want to do something on their own. Sometimes a little sooner. I start seeing a lot of these new artists are out here, you know, getting popular at 17 and 18 years old. And it's taking it almost back to, you know, early 90s when the kid rap was more of a popular fad, you know, and perhaps that gave a lot of us young folks at that time, you know, some type of inspiration or, you know, something to look forward to, you know, coming out the gate. Like, this could happen to anybody, you know, no matter how old or, you know, as long as you take it serious and you put that time into it. I think 18 is around that time that I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to take this as serious as I can.
So when you started taking it seriously, because I know for me, taking art seriously was like, and it's kind of weird, it's kind of jumping back full circle, because like, taking art seriously meant for me getting more into like fine, the aspects of fine art.
Right.
So it took for me to like kind of move myself out of comic book stuff, because I was doing comic book work at an early age. That's how I started, you know, and kind of exploring my creativity was comic books. But like for you, when you started to take it seriously, I mean, did you start to really look at screenwriting, or did you start to look at music as like that way of getting to where you needed to be? What was it?
Well, initially it was the music. It was I was a big fan of course, you know, like the 90s G-Funk, Death Row era. And I grew up listening to that sound. And then, you know, getting a little older and starting to understand the lyrics, I started to go back and listen to the songs that they sampled from. So I went back and listened to, you know, the Ohio Players and Funkadelics and the Stylistics, and, you know, started picking up on all of these different sounds of music that I could appreciate and try to, you know, make my own sound out of it. So music for me was my initial, just like, you know, I looked at it like the game of basketball. You know, it was a sport, and if you really want to play in this field, then you have to, you know who came before you and what they did, so you can know what you can do and get better at. And once I figured that mind state out, you know, I started looking at all different types of music, not just, you know, hip hop or you know, R&B, but even like country and classical and, you know, blues and jazz, you know, listening to all of these different types of music, and it makes you appreciate, you know, even some rock music that I really get down with, you know, and you discover, you know, how similar these, you know, genres are and what it really boils down to. And it's really just the writing, and it's how you, you know, write that story or that vision into somebody else's ear, to where they can close their eyes and still see it, you know? And I think that's the most beautiful part about it. When it came down to screenwriting, I didn't really take that serious until I saw, you know, like, hey, if I put enough time into something that I think is a good idea story-wise, you know, and we can create it, then, you know, why not do it? And that was really all I needed. And I just, you know, it took a while for my first complete project to become complete, but, you know, I disciplined myself to, you know, make sure that I finished it. And here I am working on a whole nother one. And I feel pretty good and more confident about it. So I think, you know, it's just like a muscle. The more you use it, the more confident you get with it.
Well, and I think you said a lot in that statement. Now, I do kind of want to unpack this in like three different things. So, well, one, we're going to talk about sampling. Two, we're going to talk about mental health. And I think the third one thing I want to unpack about is like more, just more about your direction, as far as like as far as like where you see yourself going and stuff like that. So, and this is something that I kind of get a little peeved with. It's like I see, especially visual artists, I see this all the time. And I think when I was a little younger, it used to like really kind of get on my nerves. Like when I saw, because I've seen, like, you see my art.
Right.
And I've seen people try to jack my style for my art. I've seen it. And it used to kind of tick me off, but I think the older I've gotten, the more I'm just like, you know, that's just a symbol of respect. Right. And I said, because everybody gets stolen from, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I mean, God bless his soul. Let's look at Kobe Bryant. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Those are two.
Yeah, similar between he and Michael Jordan. Yeah.
Yeah. Him and Kobe are like very similar to each other. Like, Kobe stole his entire style of play. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just look at it like that. How do you feel about artists taking from other artists?
Well, taking from other artists, I think is wrong.
Right.
But paying homage in a learned respect is just like, you know, training with a sensei, you know, and learning a new technique. You know, someone could look at, you know, someone like Kanye West and feel like he doesn't deserve the accolades that he does because he built his early career off of samples, you know. And one could also argue that the way he sampled that music was beautifully done, that only he could do it that way. So I think you have like two different perspectives, and you have to remember that nobody is always going to agree on it. But right. One thing I could say is if the finished product is done well and it's tasteful and it pays a respect towards the original product or source, then I don't really think, you know, sampling is too big of a deal. And I've sampled before, you know, I've sampled Michael Jackson and Sade and R. Kelly. I've sampled, you know, plenty of people, rock stars, you know, like plenty of these music's journey. I've sampled so many, you know, pieces of music to like, you know, find the sound that we want. And, you know, something fresh out of it. And it's really only because, you know, we're fans of these songs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's crazy because, like, you also want to make sure that you pay for it. And that's the biggest thing. Like, a lot of times you can make these samples. And if you want to put it out there, you know, it is a business. And that's where it kind of gets kind of murky. You know, you don't want to take money out of somebody else's pocket and put it in yours, you know. Unless you can break bread with somebody. But for overall standards, I think sampling is not a bad thing. I mean, we get stuff like the Screwed movement, DJ Screwed. You take these old songs and screw them and have a young rapper come and rap over them, and then you screw that, you know, and then you got a whole new record, and it just sounds beautiful and constructed well. I think that's like what music is all about. It's art, you know. You know, I think Picasso also had to look at somebody else to get some of his inspiration.
Right.
You know,
I think that's what it's all about. We all look at each other to inspire each other, man. I do agree with what you're saying, that as far as like, if you just took that from somebody else, you know, there's something wrong with that. But if you have done that, and you've right. taken it and you have blended it into your own type of stuff, that's a totally different thing, and that's respectful.
Yeah.
Tell me more about, is music and filmmaking, like this thing that you are on as an artist, is it anywhere near a therapeutic thing for you? Like, is it therapeutic for you?
Oh, yeah. You know, writing in general, art in general is just I think is the best therapy for anybody. If I could suggest it, you know, the art of the sound of rain hitting the ground is just beautiful, you know, but I think for me personally, you know, I write music to say things that I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, just in everyday conversation, but I try to do it in a way to where you can understand why I wouldn't say it or why I feel the way I feel, you know. And, I think with film, it's a lot better because you can actually describe it to the T. You know, if you are able to present it in a way that, you know, that translates to everyone, then I think it hits its mark just as beautifully. I think music is one of those things to where it's literally just your soul because you don't have a screen. You know, a lot of artists are plagued with the fact that they aren't able to, you know, afford visuals and ways to like show off their art in a way that it could, you know, hit people the way it's supposed to hit people. And they come back and look at it. If you look at that content, usually it's like amazing. The wordplay, the way they showed their soul through lyrics and words is amazing, you know. So I think that is therapeutic in a way, because if you didn't have that, you know, that release, you know, it could be very detrimental to your health. You know, it could be something that could make you snap off the most simplest thing could, you know, make you go off if you weren't able to make a song about it, you know, or it'll eat your mind alive.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, because, you know, art has been like my therapy throughout a lot of things, man. Like, tell me how do you maneuver? Because I know you struggle. We talked, and I know you do kind of struggle with some depression. Issues with depression, anxieties, and that type of stuff. How do you maneuver through all that? And how has your creative path helped you maneuver through all that?
You know, the best way that I get up out of any funk that I'm in, if I feel like, you know, I'm not happy, or, you know, I just feel like, you know, I'm in that hole. I always go back and look at, you know, what I've done. And I say, you know, I can get better. One thing that I pride myself on is being able to create at any time. And that's truly a blessing. Like, a lot of people don't have that resource, but I am able to create, you know, at any given time. And I can turn that energy into just like, you know, listening to something I made 4 or 5 years ago, or looking at something I did, you know, a couple months back or just yesterday. And I'm like, man, I'm tripping, you know. I have to look at like the beauty in what I have already done and just look at the potential and where I could go. And I think a lot of times I get blinded by that because of, you know, It's
seems like we're breaking up a little bit there. Breaking up a little bit. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry about that, guys. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, yeah. You know, I just feel like, you know, music and art takes its priority as a release and a way that you can use it to look at what you have already done and it's beautiful. Have to second guess yourself or think that it's not enough, because you are able to create things that will last beyond your years. And I think that's the benefit that I look at with the release of music is this is something that I can play when I age 50 years from now, you know, and still have it as a representation of myself.
So what is, this is going to be my last question that I ask you. What's next for you? Like, I know that we have, you know, I've seen your film writing. We were supposed to do a movie as far as me directing that film. I still want to do that. What's next for you? Like, do you have an album coming out? Do you have another film coming out that you're writing on? And also, tell people where they can find you at, where they can see some of your work, if you have something set up to where they can see anything, hear anything.
Definitely. I do have another film that I'm writing. It's about mental health also, and how you know, someone who deals with mental health attended to and help with it still struggles. And I gave it more of like a little sci-fi twist with a little bit of you know, some Candyman in there, we can say. But it's gonna be good. I think you guys will like it. I do have an album coming out right now. It should be coming within the next month or so, actually, really soon. I got a new single out right now. It's called Bipolar. If you guys want to listen to it, it's everywhere. You can find it on all your streaming services, including YouTube. And you can find me on all of your social media platforms at Richie Rott, RichyRott. And yeah, you can always reach out to me. I'm usually always accessible. And I'm all
well,
about
man,
growing
once
love,
again,
peace, and good
it is
vibration.
Always a pleasure talking to you, my homie. I appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir. Hey, man, thank you so much for having me on. It's truly an honor to be here. I appreciate you guys for listening to us. And, God bless.
You, man. I appreciate your creativity. I appreciate your light. And you keep shining it, man. And next time I'm down in Dallas, man, we're going to have to go get some drinks.
Yeah, must. That's the must. You already know.
All right,
it goes
man.
Without
well,
saying.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, man. This has been another episode of Art Therapy, man. Richie Rott, Mr. Rott, thank you so much, man, for coming on to the show. But, hey, man, y'all make sure y'all check his music out. He got some really, really good screenwriting ability. Like, if you guys are looking for someone to, like, maybe write a commercial, if you got a short film that you need written or something like that, you don't know the direction to go, man, get in contact with my guy right here, man. He knows what he's doing, man. That would be dope. It's been another episode of Art Therapy, man. I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Thank you. And once again, when I end this, in no way, shape, or form am I a therapist. I just try to help people out through things that I've been through in my life. Thank you so much. You have a great day.